You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Carolyn Sherlock. Welcome to the Boat Galley.
Why we DIY, or do it ourselves. More than one follower of the Boat Galley has commented on the fact that we do a lot of our own work on the boat. And, in more polite terms, of course, we get asked a couple of questions quite frequently. Are you just cheap? Do you like to work on your boat? As opposed to, say, going somewhere on it? While there may be some element of cost consciousness in doing our own work, that's really not it. We do get a certain satisfaction in being self-sufficient, but we'd much rather spend our time exploring new places, sailing, and socializing. But when something breaks or we decide it needs to be changed or upgraded, the work has to be done somewhere by someone. Professionals might be faster. Often they're not, due to full schedules. By doing it ourselves, we can, to some extent, determine the timing. I'll start by saying that Dave and I are both reasonably mechanical, but we were never big on home improvement ashore. Neither of us came to cruising with any special set of skills or background that would be particularly helpful in boat work. So it's not like any of this is stuff we've been doing all our lives. When we bought our first cruising boat, we hired out most of what we needed done. And we had mixed results. Some was very good, and some not so good. Sometimes something wouldn't really be fixed, and sometimes it was made worse. When we pay a professional to do a job, we think that it's going to be done right, better than we could do it, faster. And sometimes, yes, that's true. But many times it's not. Even though a particular job may have been something we knew nothing about when we started, we were virtually always successful. I think a large part of that was because we cared. We weren't just picking up a paycheck for our work. We were going to have to live with how the job was done. So we'd research. We'd watch YouTube. We'd do something and redo it if the results weren't satisfactory. We were far more tenacious. A case in point, which was actually a turning point in our do-it-yourself-or-not mindset. In 2005, our refrigerator just wasn't cooling sufficiently. Two repairmen couldn't find the problem. We finally figured out that it was low voltage from dying batteries on our own. It was an aha moment. We didn't have to be experts. We had owner's manuals, books from Nigel Calder and Don Casey, the internet, and other cruisers. With their help, we could figure stuff out. Little by little, we began doing more and more of our own work. The more of our own work that we did, the fewer problems overall we had. We had a better understanding of the routine maintenance needed and spotted potential problems before they became something big. When problems did arise, we knew what we'd done before and where the likely trouble spots were. If we discovered a problem while doing one job, we'd go ahead and fix the other thing as well. Most professionals aren't going to do that. They do the job they were hired for, and that's it. Yeah, it's that old project creep and one of the reasons it takes longer to do something yourself. You know, things like when you run a wire for the new fan and find another wire that's not crimped but just twisted and taped, so you take the time to take it apart and crimp it properly. Removing old parts and having to decide exactly what new parts to buy has paid off for us too, versus letting someone else spec out a job. So many times, it's when we get in there to remove the old whatever that we discover why it failed or wasn't satisfactory, or some other problem with it. And then, when we choose the new product, we can read the product descriptions and reviews to try to find something that will work better, or an improved installation method. Admittedly, sometimes we still choose a dud. Ordering parts ourselves, we get to choose the quality, and we aren't limited to in-house supplier. A couple of years ago, we removed our lifelines and were planning to send them out to be redone. Numerous rigging shops offer a service where you can send them your old ones and they'll duplicate them. A friend convinced us to do them ourselves, saying we could borrow his swedging tool. Although Dave and I looked at what we had when we removed the lifelines, it wasn't until I started measuring what we had in order to figure out what I needed to order that I discovered we had four close but different size fittings. A 6mm, 1/4 inch, 8mm, and 5/16. And only three different sizes on the threaded studs. Some had been jammed and cross-threaded together. Other connections didn't have any locking mechanism, and I discovered one lifeline with no adjusting turnbuckle. Had I not been the one buying parts, we wouldn't have known, and the shop probably wouldn't have noticed the difference since we would have only sent in the ends with the threaded studs. I had to buy additional parts, sure, but the problems were corrected. We have one size of connector now. None are jammed on. The cross-threaded ones are gone. All that are threaded will lock, and we're able to adjust the length of them all. We also decided to use different hardware in one area to avoid a chafe problem. And we chose to use 316 stainless instead of the standard 304 that the rigging shop uses. Admittedly, we don't do everything ourselves. AC power is one that we do very little with. A mistake could kill us instantly. Other times, we go a semi-do-it-yourself route. We'll hire a consultant or someone to work with us. That was the case with our solar panel installation. Alex helped us figure out what we needed, and we did 90% of the work on our own. We learned about the system, it cost less, and we got it done sooner than if we needed to wait for a larger slot in Alex's schedule. He was at our boat a couple of times for just an hour each and had a little shop time versus the 2 days he would have needed if he did everything. It worked well. The longer we cruise, the more we do ourselves. We've come to realize that most of what needs to be done isn't really that difficult when you break it down. We're not trying to come up with new ways of doing things. The how-to and troubleshooting guides are all out there. Google is the cruiser's best friend. The more we try, and particularly the more we succeed at, the more we're willing to try. Dave and I often find that it's the idea of doing something that's scary when you've never done it before. Who? Me? Fill in a through hole? But actually doing the work isn't nearly as mind-boggling as we anticipated. Yes, it may be tiring, and yes, we may spend some time at various points staring at parts and rereading the book and then watching YouTube for the 7th time. But then suddenly things will click and we'll get it done. We've learned to allow plenty of time for new things and taking it step by step. Wow, hey, that through hole is patched! I don't want to imply here that we're against hiring professionals here. Good ones are wonderful to work with, and we seek them out whenever we can. But we also try to learn to do things on our own. We found that the truly top-notch professionals aren't afraid to teach as they go.
Bonnie Lass Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Lass is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Lass Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielasscharters.com.
To make sure you never miss an episode of the Boat Galley podcast, become a Boat Radio subscriber. It's easy. There's lots of ways to do it. Just search for Boat Radio within your favorite podcasting app, and you'll find a subscribe or follow button alongside a list of the shows. Alternatively, go to our host, audioboom.com, and search for Boat Radio. At the top of the page, you'll find subscribe buttons for all the major podcasting apps, plus a link to our RSS feed. And don't forget to leave a review. The feedback is very important to us. That's all from the Boat Galley this week. Until next time, then.
Looking for luxury accommodation in Mallorca, but don't want to pay high summer prices? Well, Mallorcan Tonic, the low-season luxury hotel booking website, is here to help. We can save you hundreds of euros on your hotel choice, making sure you enjoy exceptional accommodation at a fraction of the summer rates. In addition, each of our hand-picked hotels offers tempting low-season incentives, including further discounts, room upgrades and complimentary cava on arrival. Whether you choose the buzz of Palma, cool coastal views, or the magnetism of the mountains, we have a hotel to suit you. You can also book our favourite restaurants, from local eateries to Michelin stars, each offering a free glass of cava. And there's lots of helpful hints about what to do during your visit. So if you're missing your sunshine fix and want to beat the winter blues, then click on MallorcanTonic.com and let us find you your dream hotel and save you money.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.